I know the spirit of what I preached was on calling for revival and calling for God. And you say, well, I get tired of that word. You better not get tired of that word. You need it. That's why David, that's why the Psalms 85 and 6 said, wilt thou not revive us again? It's happened before, Lord, do it again. That thy people may rejoice in thee. God wants a happy church. I said, God wants a happy church. One of the things that I discovered in the revival of 93, that happy people are a lot easier to pastor than grumpy people. And you know, we had a counselor on staff at that point, and she just finally said, you know, I just might as well start coming in real late because nobody needs counseling. Amen. That's right. And in the revival of 93, now you've got to understand what I'm saying and how I'm saying. I hope you do. It was a major, major move of God. I've been doing this a few years, and I have had some experience in the ministry. I've never in my life seen anything as powerful under anyone's ministry, in anyone's church, in any situation, than what we saw in 1993. This week trumped it. This week, God did things that were just absolutely awesome. Somebody open that crazy thing for me. Thank you, Charlie. Bad pitch, I'm sorry.
That's right.
See, it's not that easy.
Yeah.
They weld those things too. You know.
Hallelujah.
But I want to say our musicians did an absolutely fabulous job. Brother Tony, Brother Johnny, all the musicians, the praise singers, I couldn't ask for sweeter spirits. I couldn't ask for greater cooperation. I mean, you know, I just sat here and enjoyed the ride for the most part this week, but I'm watching every moment. That's what's interesting about going away to preach. You don't have to worry about nothing or nobody. You just do what, you know, you're there to do. But when you're a pastor, you're a general practitioner, and you have a way of watching all things. It just goes with the territory. But I want all of you to know that everybody was in their right place, and God used them in a supernatural way. Tonight at 6:30, we ask Brother Basil if he would minister tonight and Wednesday night. This man's been plowing for 8 months. And this is one of the greatest churches in America, but we still need revival in this church. There's some people that I'm very concerned about that they don't realize. I see it, but they don't realize. Folks, Jesus is coming soon. And we almost lost this country, and it's still up to what believers do. If we get weary in well-doing, we could still well lose this country. It was headed in that direction. What's happening now is absolutely supernatural. And you can love me, hate me, get aggravated by whatever you want to, but I'm going to make a statement that I will not back off of. God put Donald Trump in the White House. God put him there. God put him there. Oprah didn't put him there. You do understand? Okay, we'll move on that one. But God put someone there. And there was a part of the war, the last big war we went through, that George Bush, I felt, did a good job of pastoring that part of the war. But something has changed. Something has changed. Something has changed politically. And not one of those 17 on the platform could have cut it, but the man that God put in the White House, not one. Not one. And I'm not bashing anyone, but I'm just simply saying we had to have a turnaround in this nation, and we still must have a turnaround. We're raising a generation that has not been taught patriotism, and they have not been taught the things of God. God's been taken out of school, prayer out of school, Bible out of school, Ten Commandments, and so on. I'm a pastor. I believe in a family church. I have a pastor's heart. I plead very guilty of that. I love people, and I love to see the follow through in people's lives. That still thrills me. Just the story I told a while ago. I mean, a story like that just puts you back on your feet again. But I still am passionate about Holy Ghost New Testament revival. And I appreciate Brother Basil Howard Brown, he and his wife. They have been very church and pastoral, not only friendly but kind. We've had a good working relationship, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a pastor like me or a field ministry like Brother Basil. God put us together for that period of time, and I thank you. The plowing has been worth it, my brother. The plow has been worth it. But there's several things that I would just, from my heart, like to share with us today. Several things from my heart that I'd like to share with us. You know, if our nation ever needed revival, we need revival. And last night we saw, I mean, you can call it Baptist, charismatic, call it whatever. I call reality where I see it. And there's a church in Dallas that God has used in a very signal way, and that's First Baptist Church and Dr. Robert Jeffers. The man's got the guts of an army mule. I mean, he doesn't back up, shut up, or let up, and I respect that. There's also a church in Fort Worth, Texas, that is contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. We're not as big as First Baptist in Dallas, but we're on the way, and we're rebuilding. And I believe that God strategically has placed us where we are, and the best is yet to come. I believe that. Let me tell you, I'm not going to try to preach a great sermon, but I just want to share with you from my heart. The anointing. We've been talking about, Brother Rodney has been talking about the anointing. By the way, we've had some serious talks this week, and he said, Pastor, he said, something's happened in my heart here this week. He said, I've got to come back. Now, this man's, he's wanted all over the world, but he's made special arrangements to come back August the 27th through September the 1st. August the 27th, it'd be the same Sunday night through Friday night. And let me make some comments here that I think go right in. You be here tonight, and this place would just be rocking and reeling. God touched Brother Basil last night. I'm excited to hear, if he can say it, what God did in his life last night. Friday night it was. But the ingredients of a New Testament Holy Ghost Book of Acts revival. I know something about that. And let me just share some things from my heart. First of all, for a New Testament Holy Ghost Book of Acts revival, you need a hungry pastor. You need a hungry pastor. Brother Rodney had a great revival in Florida. And I'm not being disrespectful, but I know whereof I speak. Mighty move of God. It was the meeting that I visited and invited him to come here in 93. Awesome meeting. I mean, it was just, how many weeks did it go? I don't even remember. But Brother Rodney said, if the Spirit, and it, revival is a spirit, not every service is the same. Amen. Not every service is the same. You can't cookie cutter the moving of the Holy Spirit. There's a time you need to have conversational tone and do what I'm doing here right now, because we're laying a foundation for greater things to come. But Brother Rodney said, if the spirit of revival doesn't prevail, you can throw a bowling ball down the center aisle, and that church seated 10,000 people with the balcony combined. I personally laid hands on 7,500 people one night when I was there with Brother Rodney. Do you know that church, the first meeting after Brother Rodney, they brought in someone they thought would bring in a crowd. Godly man, good man, dear friend of mine. I mean, but there's just difference in, you've got to know God's timing in things. God's timing. Vince Lombardi had it right in a football sense. Timing is not important. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. And so they brought a man in. Well, he didn't realize all that had been going on. And he had been through some very terrible things in his own body and in war and so on. And there was a strong spirit of joy and laughter. And it just didn't work. It just didn't work. You brought in the wrong thing at the wrong time. Good people at the wrong time in the wrong place. You've got to know God's timing. I know a little bit about God's timing. But you not only need, and by the way, that church has been bulldozed. The church is no longer. Not only could you not roll a bowling ball down the center aisle, which of that big edifice, it's gone. Bulldozers took it out. Church is gone. Church is gone. But you also need an anointed, hungry, God-sent field ministry. You know, with some on the field, it's show business. It's show business. It's a night gig. And a little God mixed in with it, but it's just a lot of feel good and how we all feel, how you feel, I feel. We both hug trees and we go home and praise God together. You need a hungry pastor. And you need a hungry, God-called field ministry. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it, Brother Rodney said it so plain the other night. We're in agreement. We're in agreement. You can't have a meeting with people out of agreement. That doesn't even work in a marriage. Doesn't work in a church either. And, you know, you can't have little backroom squabbles over money and over people and over products and silly stuff. You know, you've been through it all if you've done the things I've done over the years. You need an anointed, God-called pastor and a church. Of course, pastor of the church, you need an anointed, God-called field ministry who will be compatible with church. We all flow together. You don't put a car in reverse and forward at the same time. It doesn't work. I have a man that I call my friend, and he opened some doors for me and was a blessing in my life, but he had one fault. He would preach something and then laugh about what he preached. I don't mean laughter of joy, but like, you didn't really believe that, did you? It was a caustic approach. I never could figure the guy out. God used him. But the way he was, God couldn't continue to use him. You know, this thing is not just a sprint. This is not just a little short run. I've been in it for the long haul. Am I getting too deep this morning? All right, you need that. Both are needed. Both are ingredients that are needed. You need a place. And thank God the upper room was a place. Philip went down to the city in Samaria, and the whole city gave heed. He preached Christ, and the Spirit of God got involved in that. And, you know, a place makes a real difference. I've quoted it, and you'll probably hear me quote it another 100 times, but Jimmy Swaggart in his heyday, when he was holding his meeting in Fort Worth, and we were chairman of the meeting here at that time down at Fort Tarrant County, the convention center. He wanted to see First Baptist Church that we'd just maybe a year into it or year and a half into it, purchased it, or in the process of purchasing it. I never will forget, Jimmy, he wanted to see our church. He said, I heard about this church. It was a historic First Baptist Church that God enabled us to go into, and then he's provided this place after the storm. But he said, you know, Pastor Bob, he said, guys like us don't have any business on the field without guys like you. He said, we need each other. There needs to be a home base. Sheep need a shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every believer needs a home church and a pastor. That doesn't mean you have coffee with the pastor every day, but someone that you have confidence in, you believe in, and we communicate, and what we say makes a difference in your life. It's a place. The upper room was a place. Philip had a place. And we go on. There's a teaching area. It's important. A New Testament revival has teaching and preaching. It has dynamics. The day of Pentecost had wind, fire. Huh? Dynamics on the day of Pentecost. The Bible said they spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Someone here the other day, they said, well, you know, there's a lot of speaking with tongues around here, but not as many messages. Well, there's really not that many messages, but you've got to realize that you don't have to have a message for any time you speak with tongues. Now, if you want the whole church to listen to you speak with tongues, that's another deal. But, I mean, if we all begin to worship God in a prayer language, and there was no interpretation, there's no violation of spiritual law there that I see. Amen. Praise the Lord. At least you don't hear the same thing, everything like I used to hear back. Thus saith the Lord, it's a nice day and the birds are singing and you're going to be all right, you know. And Brother Hickamashine and Sister, you know, woo, 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 you know. You could always count on that in the service, you know. But anyway, we'll leave that one alone. Praise that takes care of itself. There are dynamics, wind, fire. Hallelujah. Joy. You cannot get around the fact they thought the crowd was drunk on the day of Pentecost. Now, how do drunk people act? I remember after one of our New Year's Eve services, celebrations, I went to Waffle House, one of those little places, and I'm sitting there. Everyone else has gone in, and two ladies come in. Man, they were three sheets in the wind. And I mean, when the door opened, they said, wow, we're drunk. And they were. They were very drunk. I scarfed my waffle as quick as I could and got out of there. I mean, it was a birdhouse. I'm telling you, it was a strange environment. But, I mean, they just walked in the door. They were drunk. They convinced me real quickly they were drunk. And on the day of Pentecost, he had to say, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. God did a mighty work then. Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, well, I don't understand why people fall down because they can't stand up. Well, don't some people fake that? Probably. But you know, enough people are real in that it works. that's between you and God. Hey, amen. There was salvation that came out of the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. Hey, that's a good day's work, isn't it? The Holy Ghost was poured out. Signs, wonders, miracles. Later on, we see finances. People sold things and brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There's one thing that the church has been negligent on. I've been negligent on it. We've let it be thought that if you're a partner with a ministry, you have to be a partner with a field ministry. Hey, what about partnering with a local church where you know the man of God, you know where he lives, you know what he drives, you know who he's married to. You watch him over a period of time. There's nothing you can hide if you're a pastor. I mean, you're exposed to the world. I can't go off and hide. It's hard for me to even get away to hide. Amen. There was a purging, Ananias and Sapphira. Boy, we need that today. Came in and lied to the Holy Ghost, and that didn't work real good. That just didn't work at all. Didn't work for a second. And they carried both of them out. So, you know, people say, well, I don't understand when people leave a church. Well, if you don't get straight, God has to do something with you. Okay, leave that one alone. There's folks I wondered how we're going to get along without. When they left, I wondered how we got along with them when I found out what they were doing while they were here. All right. And then knowing who your man of God is. It's important to know your company. It's important to know your company. And that's what's, if the only way you can see church is on a flat screen TV, go for it, go for it. We have people watching right now. You can't come and you're doing the best you can do right now. But you see, if you're just hanging out somewhere, you don't feel a need to give, you don't feel a camaraderie, and you better not die or have a funeral because they don't know who you are. It's a sad situation when you really need a pastor and when you really need a church. You know, people that have both boots on the ground here, when something happens, this is a real New Testament church. Amen. And we'll help you and we'll bless you. We'll do everything we can that we know about. We don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit 24/7. So if you go to the hospital and never let anyone know, don't get your feelings hurt if no one shows up to pray for you, bless you. Amen. We're workers together. Knowing who your man of God is, knowing who your company is. And there's a commitment in a revival church. There's a commitment. There is a commitment. It was astonishing. I heard this story more than once this week. More than once. Pastor, this week has changed our life. Some folks used to go here a few years ago. This church has changed our life. I couldn't tell you what's happened to us this week. Thank you. Thank you for this week. Oh, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long, several years. Anyway, and I said, well, will we see you Sunday morning? Well, we're in one of those churches that has three services on Sunday morning, and each one of them are an hour or less. I said, so, okay, I'm listening. And you have revival in those three services? Well, no, that doesn't work in our church. And they're not here this morning. How hungry were they? How changed were they? How hungry? You're getting quiet on me now. I do listen. I do listen. And 2 and 2 still makes 4. You know, are we playing a game? Is this a TV quiz show or get rich, strike it rich? What is it? You know, the time's coming when God's putting people together that have a heart that beats together. One place, one accord. Their heart's there. Their loyalty is there. Their family is there. Their thinking is there. Amen. They're not there to critique or criticize. They come hungry for the things of God. And you know, there's a mutual trust and commitment. And, there are some names I could bring up that they want to come here. They want to come here. I said, well, I'm for who God wants. And I really felt like they could have been a blessing in coming. I said, but you know, we need to spend a little time together, get to know each other. I don't want someone to come in here like a ghost, and we have no fellowship, we have no commitment, there's no common ground, and then they disappear with everybody else in the Metroplex, and they're here to hold a meeting here in this church. You know, there's a commitment together. Amen. I mean, it just doesn't work right for husband and wife, and the wife's never there, or the husband's never there, they come and they don't have anything to say to one another. There's a commitment. There's a camaraderie. There is a camaraderie. You get me on your page, honey, and you got yourself a tiger on your page. If I'm on your page and you're on my page, we can tear up hell. But don't play games with me. Don't play games with me. If you get on my turf and I get on you, if we're on the same wavelength, there's nothing impossible with people that believe God. And I tell you, that's the way we are with our staff right now. We've got the best loyal staff we've ever had in the history of this church. The best loyal staff. And I tell you, I appreciate all of our staff. You know, Brother Dan's preached a lot, and Brother Dave King's preached a lot. And you know what? Because they're coming to the meetings, they're not all bent out of shape and all offended, and you know, we're workers together. Hey, I haven't been preaching this week either. I got to pray a couple of times, but you know, I don't have to preach for the show to go on. Amen. We're committed. And I'll tell you another thing. I thank God for the pastor's wives that we have. We have the best pastor's wives. Staff wives. They love God. They love the Word of God. They love their pastor, and their pastor loves them. And I'd fight for them, and I believe they'd fight for me. Claws and jaws don't get in their way. Praise God. Amen. Hey, this is a team deal. We're not apart. We're together. And it's working so much better since it's on that basis. There's a mutual trust. There's a mutual trust. Hardly a mile from here. Church is not even there today. I was there working on that staff. Great. I saw some great moves of God. I met Kenneth Hagin in that church. And he took Joe and I under their wing. And that was the beginning of our relationship with this man of God. But we had an evangelist in from Kentucky, I think it was. He was a rock star that got saved, and they made a superstar out of him overnight in church. And he went to some of the major churches, but he caused trouble everywhere he went. He caused strife. He caused division. He'd sniff out what they call the money people, you know, and have special visits with them and special fellowship with them. And because I was an associate pastor, we had a 9-week meeting. I'll tell you how strong that meeting was. We went through Christmas. I've been in revival in Christmas. I think I'd probably be the only one here. Joe and I'd be the only ones here that could say that. But we've been in revival during Christmas. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. I don't preach that. It just worked out that way. And believe me, I was there, and I know it can happen. You couldn't do it? Well, that's another time. But he came to me, and the meeting, my father-in-law, he said, I've never seen so much of God and so much of the devil in a meeting. Half of the meeting went wonderful, and then he won the hearts of the people because he had great talent, and he had a great ability on the guitar, and he really had a charisma. I could see he could go out if he what. Well, I don't know. I believe he was saved for a while. He was. But he could go out to Billy Bob's, be an entertainer out there. He had that charisma about him. And he came to me one day. He said, "You know, Bob," he said, "Brother Bob, I'm going to split. I've got the hearts of these people. I'm going to split this church, and I'll make you my associate." He said, "We'll be a team together." I said, "Man, you don't know who you're talking to. You're talking to a loyal man. That doesn't move me at all. And as of now, I'll have no part of anything you're doing right now." And I went straight to the pastor and I said, "We got some problems here that we need to get settled down and get straightened out." There's one thing about the Nichols in this family. We're a loyal people. I mean, my parents, they ate at Massey's chicken fried steak every Friday night, whether we needed it or not. They went to Curran's Laundry on Pennsylvania. I could name another of other verses. They went to E.H. Hack Terry Mobile Station. That's where they bought gas. My family, I was raised with a loyal family. We have a long history of being loyal. You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, some of that's needed in the church world today, you know. All right, moving right along here. But there was a mutual trust. And you see, he went his way. And he's, of course, been out of the ministry for many, many years now, because everywhere he'd go, it took a jagged turn. And that's where a revival must be pastored. A revival must be pastored. We've had revivals of repentance, revivals of prayer, revivals of joy, revivals of evangelism, revivals of signs, wonders, and miracles. And when it worked, the revival we worked together. The revival was pastored. A real New Testament pastor knows something. He has the heart of God. He has the heart of God for his church. And there are some that are weird and off base and so on, but you get a right on evangelist together, and you get a right on pastor together, and you got yourself a powerful moving of God. It's just God's way. Praise God. A revival must be pastored, and in that, it keeps it on the right track. Well, you know, I was just reading over in Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'm not going to worry about it here for a few minutes. I have some things I need to say. 13th chapter. Let's go over to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we'll wind it up here in just a few moments. But I'm saying some things that are really helpful. Probably some things you've never heard me say before, but maybe it's time to say that. Because things are going so good. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Matthew 13. Verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sells all that he has and buys that field. This is the secret of New Testament revival. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that is cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. Let me just give a little quick spin here, and I think that's what God would have us to say today. Folks, some church has got to have Holy Ghost revival. Where are you going to go in the United States of America? I know there's some secret places somewhere, and there's always men of God in churches. I mean, we're not the only pastor or the only church. But I mean, next week, if I said, I'm going to take the week off, I'm going to go to a red hot revival here in America, I don't know where I would go. I don't know where I would go. This last week, we had one of the most powerful movings and stirrings of the Holy Spirit. And the thing about it is, an evangelist that's strong enough to be used in revival is going to say some things that will upset your... He may not put everything in proper order like you think it ought to be. May not. But the field is the world. The field is the world. Our field is America, is the Metroplex. The field is the world. The treasure, listen to me, what are churches really basically, bottom line? Hilton Sutton said it best, harvest is the bottom line. Always has been, always will be. Harvest is the bottom line. You got to get souls saved. You can't just recycle saints. You've got to get some souls saved. So the field is the world. The treasure is the pearl. And the Bible said that one pearl, that precious girl I was talking about this morning, one pearl, and I believe her nephew is here. He's going on outreach, and God's doing a work in his life. Yeah, he's here in our church right now. Praise the Lord. But one pearl of great price is the value of any soul. Your soul is worth priceless value. We are, Brandon, you bless me, bud. You bless me. I've watched you over a number of years. God has totally changed your life. See, that's what happened. But if you weren't coming around where anything was happening, if you were still out goofing off like you did, you know, it wouldn't happen. You've come in, you've submitted yourself to the house, and now God's using you not only to be a I keep meaning to get out and listen to you Shakespeare whenever that happens. But God's using you to sing in the Spirit. God's using you. God's using you. But you're where it's happening. You're where people love you. You're where people are your friends. We're not your enemies. We're your friends. Amen. And that dear girl, I couldn't tell you the times that she came. She said, I goofed up again. I said, hold on. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Don't run away from church when you miss it. Run to church. We're not mad at you. We're not going to put you under condemnation. We're going to help you stay on the right track. The field is the world. The treasure is the pearl. Souls. Precious souls. And the only way to get the field, the only way to get one pearl, the only way to get one pearl, according to this verse, is by the field. You got to buy the field. Well, I like Sunday morning, but I don't know if I like anything else around here. You got to buy the field. Got to buy the field. Are we communicating? You got to buy the field. When you buy the field, you bought one pearl, but you also bought land that needs to be, maybe the rocks need to be taken out, maybe the trees, maybe whatever. You buy the field to get the pearl. And you got to buy the church. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to embrace the church, not let every little thing rock your boat and get you upset. Well, if he said so and so. Just, you know, if they step on you and grow in toenail, just say, praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. No one's going to do everything just like you want them to do. Amen. The kingdom is like a net of fishes of every kind. Amen. Like a net of fishes. Now, I don't agree with everything. When I say everything, I mean he's a human being. And there have been a few things that I think our president could have been better off without saying. But you know what? If he said everything as nice as everybody else is saying it, he might not have been elected. We didn't need another politician. We needed someone. And let me tell you the background on this man. I've been doing some research and some study. Do you know that this man memorized in Jimmy Swaggart's heyday? He used to listen to Jimmy Swaggart, and he memorized 200 of Jimmy Swaggart's messages. Do you know that either his grandmother or great-grandmother was part of the Welsh revival overseas? This man's got roots. Somebody been praying for this man for a long time. I mean, you say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Well, there's things about you that other people don't like too. There's things about me you don't like, you know. But we got to love one another. You buy the field. You buy the field. The good, the ugly, the better, the best, the not so good. You buy the field. That's my field. That's my field. Praise God. You buy the field. You buy the field. I'm saying some very strategic things this morning. The only way to get one pearl is to buy the field. To buy the field. The kingdom is like a net of fishes. You throw the net out and you don't get all trout or all bass or all whatever else is your favorite fish. You get some scrubby stuff in there too. But you bring the net into shore and you know, in church, you got to learn to spit out the bones and eat the meat. There's going to be a bone every once in a while. Satan will see to that. At least it's a bone to you. It probably doesn't make any difference to anybody else, but you got all bent out of shape about it. No one caught it but you because you have such great revelation. Amen. All right. Oh, you read further in that chapter, and I'm winding up here. Almost winding, almost. But you remember the multitude was there, and they came and they said, it's the wrong place, it's the wrong time, send them away. Boy, that's one thing Jesus doesn't say. It's never the wrong time with Jesus. You'll never hear Jesus say, send them away. I can't do it all the time, and I'm not as young as I used to be. My feet have a certain shelf life, and I have to respect some of that. But there's times I've stood on my feet, my legs were screaming to try to love somebody, to try to help somebody. I mean, some pastors, you'd never get even a second, even a smile. All you get's a flat screen TV. You just got to buy the farm. Got to buy the farm. Well, I didn't get so much this morning. Well, come on back tonight. Come on back tonight. Come on back. Come on again. Amen. Some services mean more than others. I realize that. I go to conventions and conferences. Some are just blockbusters, and others, I'm like, ooh, man. But you know what? You buy the field. You buy the field. You buy the farm. I remember a friend of mine, he said, I went to this conference. He said, if there's anything I hated, it's somebody with a bushy mustache. He said, don't ask me why, I don't know. And he said, I went to this conference and the key speaker, they didn't even publish his photo, had a big bushy mustache. He said, I got so mad to think I flew all the way from my home to this place and this guy's got this. He said, do you know before that conference was over, I loved that man with that big bushy mustache because he blessed me more than anybody did. He just buried his bushy mustache pride and bought the field. I said, he bought the field. Hallelujah. He looked to the maker of the field. Praise the Lord. And so, as I look at so many things that are around us, some churches got to keep the vision of revival. And I believe with all of my heart, we're a family church. I'm a pastor. I have a pastor's heart. But I also have part of my DNA is revival. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm at home with it. Hallelujah. You can't drive too fast for me. I may not scream as loud as you do, run as fast as you do, but I'm in the race. Amen. My heart's there. Praise be unto God. Someone came up and said, preacher, do you believe in all this stuff going on? I said, if I didn't believe in it, it wouldn't be happening. Did you catch that? Some people never figure out why things are going on. Somebody's faith is on the line. Somebody believes. You got to believe. I said, you got to believe. Can these bones live again? Lord, only thou knowest. Boy, I've said that a few times too. Can these bones live? But oh, after a while, there was a shaking and the bones started coming together. And then before it all got through, everybody was shaking. Whole lot of shaking going on. You know what every one of us need? We need a fresh touch from God. Come on, musicians. You might have thought I rambled, and I don't think I did. But I believe I said some things that needed to be said to just lay foundations for revival. Amen. Revival's not, you get an evangelist and you get a song leader and you go 2 weeks and you know, the old traditional way of looking at things. It takes time. You say, well, why do services take so long? Well, why does it take so long for you to watch Super Bowl? Get a Tucker look out of that, you know. How come it takes you 4 hours to watch Super Bowl? Well, I got to see how it comes out. Church is kind of the same way. You know, while we're sitting, it's not that every moment rockets are firing, but the Spirit of God's doing a work. Why do people need carpet time? Because they're quiet before God. Do you ever notice surgeons don't operate on people walking into their office and say, just stand there, let me get my gown on, nurses come on here while this guy is standing, we got to operate on him. Doesn't work that way. They put you in the hospital, they put you under. Or did you have a different kind of surgery? It's the downtime that you need. It's the downtime. And you know the thing that most of us don't have and don't take time, proper time, to spend time in God's presence. In His presence is where revelation knowledge comes from. In His presence is where you see ways that you need to change. In His presence is where God does a supernatural work in our hearts. Well, did you learn anything from God's Word today? Amen. All I'm saying, I look at some of these churches that have had great revival in the past, and either the church is not there or nothing's happening now. One of the great revivals in America over a goodly period of time, the pastor's gone, the music director's gone, and the evangelist has gone on to be with the Lord. 53 years, Calvary Cathedral International has been contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And God's not through with me yet. I'm still on 2 feet. This church, the lights are still on. We're still contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Not through any virtue of my own, but because I believe God. I believe God. I'm hungry for God. We will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. This place will continue to be used by God. And I believe we're part of what God's doing in this nation. I said, I believe we're part of what God's doing in this nation. This is a nation-changing church. This is a metroplex-changing church. I am a metroplex-changing pastor. We have men and women of God that are anointed of God to bring change to the metroplex. And you're part of that. We're part of the same team. Is there a shout in the camp this morning? Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? We need each other. The Metroplex needs us. America needs us. The kingdom of God needs us. And by God's grace, we'll be there. We'll be here. We'll do the will of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty